Hello?
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Oh, it's going fine.
I have a quick question for you, bro. If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian?
If it were true,
Yeah.
no, there's all kinds of things that are true that I'm ignorant of, that any person is ignorant of. It's hard,
Well,
it's pretty.
initially, if you received all the evidence that you've needed and you basically conclude without a shadow of a doubt that Christianity is true, would you become a Christian?
Yeah, but wouldn't that work for literally anything?
No.
What do you mean no?
No, it's because when it comes to from a relational aspect in regards to Christianity, I mean, there's no other religion out there that actually points to the truth with sufficient evidence except for Christianity.
That's just what you believe.
No,
What
that's
if
true.
I showed you incontrovertible proof that Christianity is false? Then would you stop believing in it?
Yeah, show me how it's false. Show me how the Christian God of the Bible doesn't exist.
Sorry, I had to get rid of my background.
Yeah, you're good. Nice house, by the
I'm just talking about the way you formulated your question. It
No, it's
doesn't
just
really make
basic, you
sense.
know? Yeah,
You kind of, you
if I
it,
supply receive the evidence, would you believe it? And would you become a Christian?
Yeah, but I said, isn't that how it works with anything? And you said no, because Christianity is the only truth. But then I said, what? Not.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm sorry. You're kind of right on that. It kind of does work with everything, but yeah, that's why we have to weigh the pros and the cons, and we see the evidence. So you said something monumental, saying evolution is true. So
Yes.
you believe that our descendants are bacteria and fish could become philosophers?
Not like overnight, no.
So you have a firm understanding in macroevolution?
Macroevolution is just what happens over time. It macroevolution isn't something that happens in one generation or in one fell swoop. But the idea of organisms changing over time is clearly not more improbable than a guy walking on water or producing a bunch of fish or bread out of absolute nothingness or resurrecting from the dead or a talking snake or a burning bush or plagues the likes of which have never been seen or any of that stuff. I mean, no miracle is more likely than anything that can be than any naturalistic mechanism.
Well, what are you talking about? The greatest miracle that ever happened has scientific evidence that it's been proven. The universe has been created out of nothing and it had a beginning. That's the biggest miracle right there.
Nope.
So you disagree with Albert Einstein when he says space, time, and matter came into being at the same time? You disagree with that?
Don't know if you ever said that, but
Well, it's
you're
his theory of relativity, and it's been confirmed by author.
That is not the theory of relativity.
Yes, it is. The theory of general relativity is space, time, and matter coming into being at the same time. He thought about this in 1916, and it was confirmed in 1919 by Arthur Eddington when he
He
measured.
wrote the paper. He wrote the paper in 1905. No, that is not what the general theory of relativity is.
Wait, so
Or
what is it? Because maybe I'm missing something.
those are theories about gravity. I mean, what you're describing kind of sounds like the Big Bang, but the Big Bang is, and Albert Einstein didn't agree, or he didn't discover the Big Bang, and he resisted it because in the theory of relativity, he put what's called a cosmological constant in there, which he famously later went on to call his biggest blunder, because nobody knew, everybody was agnostic about it, but everybody imagined that the universe doesn't really move or change or expand or anything. But then later, other people, much later, like in 1929, Georges Lemaître and Edwin Hubble worked out that the universe actually is expanding. So Einstein got rid of the cosmological constant. But that's the Big Bang. And the Big Bang doesn't say that the universe was created out of nothing. It just states what the universe has done since it began existing. Nobody knows how the universe was created, what created it, or anything like that.
Well, I mean, I know, but that's when we go into a whole different
No, you
sphere.
have a belief.
Exactly, but my evidence concludes that my belief is real. But you said evolution is true. What is your observational evidence to prove that macroevolution is true. And I don't want something that I have to receive by faith, because you can sit here and say, oh yeah, well, we have things from 65 million years ago. Well, according to the scientific method, that's not really accurate, because nobody was alive 65 million years ago to see, you know, bacteria actually turning into organisms over time. So what is your evidence to actually conclude that?
Did yesterday happen?
Say it again?
Yesterday happen?
Yeah, did 65 million years ago happen? Were you there to actually see?
Okay, could you go get me a piece of yesterday?
Can I go get you a piece of yesterday? No, I can't.
Okay, well then yesterday didn't happen.
I beg your pardon?
Yesterday didn't happen.
Okay.
You can, until you bring me some yesterday, then it didn't happen. No. Or is there evidence of what occurred yesterday that we could analyze in the present day?
How do we know? How do we know that that is actually accurate? That this is what you're not understanding. You say bacteria evolves into something else over a period of time. How do you see something evolve into something else over a period of time if no one fully was there to see the entire process go through?
Sure. You look for the evidence. So if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to see the tree fall down, can we still figure out if a tree fell down? Yeah, we could go to the forest and look for the evidence, right?
Okay, regardless of the matter, how can you conclude that bacteria could be something else if you can't see the bacteria change? You could say we grabbed the evidence, but how do you officially know 1,000% that that evolved from bacteria? You weren't there. So that concludes that.
Say it again? Science doesn't deal in absolute proof, because we can't have absolute proof. But what it does is it builds models and mechanisms to explain things. And the best logical interpretation based on the evidence is that life has changed over time. Like, for example, the mitochondria that are in your cells are exactly like bacteria in all kinds of ways. I can tell you about how they are if you would like to. But that's where the idea...
Something about absolute proof.
So the idea of endosymbiosis came about from that, which states that a very, very long time ago, a couple of times, one prokaryote engulfed another prokaryote, and then they engaged in a symbiotic relationship. Things like that still happen. There are bacteria that actually live within your cells that are obligate symbiotes. They can't live without you. But, you know, the genome of your mitochondria is extremely similar to certain classes of prokaryotes on this planet. It's the same story with chloroplast cells.
Okay, so I want to go back to that absolute thing about science. So you can't have absolute proof about science. Isn't that blind faith?
No. Faith is believing in something without any evidence.
Well, let's get the concrete definition of faith, because the concrete definition is complete trust in or confidence in someone or something. That's the Oxford definition. So if you have complete trust in science, that means you have blind faith.
Did you Google this?
Well, I'm in the Oxford website right now for the definition of faith.
For the definition for faith there?
Say it again?
Is there more than one definition for faith? Because for most words, that is the case.
Yeah, it's two. It's two. Okay. The second one says strong belief in God.
There's multiple definitions of faith. There's like a colloquial one. But if we're talking about epistemological claims, then what you described is trust, is like a general synonym for trust. But faith, another definition, which makes it different in this aspect, is the belief in something absent of any evidence. So what is the second definition on the Webster Dictionary or whatever say?
Yeah, strong belief in God or the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof.
There we go.
Right. So that's the second one. But the first one says complete trust or confidence in something or someone. So you stated that using science, there are no absolute proofs. So you have complete trust and you're relying on the evidence based on science. So that's blind faith, correct?
No, because the way science works, pose a question, and then you go out and gather evidence to see whether or not your proposed explanation is true. Like mm-hmm. earlier, when you brought up how relativity was confirmed by Arthur Eddington, people mm-hmm. didn't sit around writing all these grand books about how Einstein proved anything until further experimental evidence verified it. And if we want to look at whether or not life has changed over time, then what would the evidence for that look like? Well, for example, the fossil record should be composed mostly of dead organisms from the past that are completely different from organisms of the present, which is exactly what we find. We should find that the genetics between organisms, because genetics is what determines the various characteristics and attributes that organisms have, there should be a clear similarity between physically similar species, which is exactly what we find. So that is supporting evidence from it. We can't travel back in time, but that doesn't mean that we can still gather evidence and then try to figure out what the best explanation for something is.
Yeah, well, regardless of the matter, you just said it. Since you can't travel back in time, then basically everything is assumption with everything that you just have at the drawing board. At the drawing board. So you, let's say you find a rock. If you find a rock and you just say, yeah, this thing was 500 million years old, you're just saying that at that point. You literally have no confirmational evidence to say, hey, this rock is that age.
And that's you shouldn't. Scientifically, like, you should test the isotopes within it if you can to see how old it is. You're mm-hmm. imagining that. Just go around the world saying, this is that old, this is that old, this is that old, that is this old, this is that old. When, like, you seem to be completely ignoring the way that science is done.
No, I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to get a better understanding because, I have the scientific method says it's based over an aggregation of observational evidence and data. And I'm like, okay, so it's 65 million years is a very long time. And that's a big claim that evolutionists make from saying bacteria can evolve into something else. My question still stands. It's like, wait a minute. According to the scientific method, how is that even a thing if nobody was there to observe the process take forth? You can't just sit here and say, oh, we have evidence. How is your evidence accurate if you're never there to observe it? You just pick it up. You just pick up a rock and see a little fossil and says, oh, yeah, this was it? No. You weren't there to observe it, to confirm it. You see what I mean?
No, not at all. Even if we weren't there, there would still be evidence of what occurred in the past. Like, there are places in the world where there are no people watching things happen, but physical evidence is still accumulating in those places. So if we can understand what that physical evidence would look like and how to test it, we can go places and figure things out, right? Like, in Rome and in Greece and in Turkey and the Middle East and places where there's been civilization for unbelievably long periods of time, they dig through the soil and the dirt and they find tools, and maybe they'll get lucky enough to find a coin and it has Alexander the Great's face on it or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they know this is the general period of time that we're looking at in this layer. Now, I could say, yeah, but you weren't there. You don't know. Maybe somebody 4 days ago made that fake coin, dug a hole in the dirt and threw it in there. Yes, that is one of the possibilities. But is that a good possibility in light of what's actually going on here? No, that explanation isn't a good one.
No,
you see the difference?
Yeah. And you're mixing it up. You're mixing it up, actually. You're sitting here saying you're basically trying to compare archaeological evidence to evidence needed for changes of kinds of species.
I'm talking about which evidence can be gathered and the nature in which physical evidence accumulates in the environment and then can be looked at. By way of analogy, it's much easier to – that's why we use analogies, because it's a little simpler and it drives the point home to a more readily accessible – it becomes more readily accessible to the almost 300 people that are watching this. So if – does occur, then what would the evidence look like? In fact, I would like to hear from you if evolution did occur, because I want to know if you're like actually open-minded about this or if you're closed-minded about this. So if evolution did occur, what would the evidence look like?
That's a very phenomenal question. I mean, if someone could show me evidence on how in a someone observable evidence from bacteria evolving into a completely different species over time, I mean, sure, I would be 1,000% open to that. But there's not one individual that has shown that. Like even Charles Darwin, he did observation in the Galapagos Island. He observed adaptation in the finches. The beaks changed. But at the end of the day, they were still birds. You see how that works? They were still birds. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed was the beak.
Yeah, that's evolution. There you go.
No. That's microevolution, not macro.
What is the biological definition of evolution?
It's micro what?
Isn't that microevolution, not macro?
Micro what?
What?
Micro what?
Again, if you want to run the gun with that,
what?
Yeah, microevolution. Okay,
evolution.
Macro.
What is the biological definition of evolution?
Okay, let's search it up so we can all have an understanding. Biological definition of evolution. Let's get it.
Well, if you're going to argue against it, shouldn't you already have that understanding?
Well, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So evolution is the change of characteristics of biological populations over successful generations. Evolution is the change in genetic composition of a population over successive generations.
I love how you said
okay.
The change in genetic composition of a population over generations.
Okay.
We see that. We can observe that process. We actively use that process.
Okay.
In so many different fields.
What is your evidence that bacteria have become philosophers? Your observational evidence, not something I have to receive.
The evidence that would show evolution occurs presently would not need to be an entire recapitulation of the entire 4 billion years of evolution that has occurred. If those are your goalposts,
wait, so doesn't
for
that
enough evidence of evolution, then you're poorly mistaken. No one is going to bring you into a lab and show you the entire process and turn a bacteria into a Homo sapiens.
So why make the claim?
Nobody's going to do that.
Why make the claim if you can't provide the evidence?
Because we do
because
have
we
the
can look at evidence and know
he
that
just,
it happened.
Just sat there and said nobody is going to sit there and bring you the evidence over 4 billion. Yeah, you're right, because you can't do it. So why make the claim? According to the
I cannot
method,
no one can demonstrate in front of your eyes the exact entire 4 billion year process of evolution.
So why make the
no
claim?
No one is going to culture a bacteria and then out of a machine emerges a Homo sapiens. If that is your goalpost for evidentiary support of evolution, then no one's ever going to meet that.
This is extremely...
But we don't need to show you that.
Sorry. This is extremely intellectually dishonest because you're demanding that we travel backwards in time and then stay alive for billions of years and watch evolution happen. And that's the only form of evidence that you'll accept. I mean, it's totally, but that's because you're looking for an absolute standard of proof or evidence. And in science, we don't deal with that, but also we can get evidence for things other than 100% absolute evidence. You can mute yourself whenever you want to. I just did that because I don't have my headphones on. And so people end up talking over each other and I wanted to avoid it.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you feel when Richard Dawkins says we are condemned to only live only well, I'm sorry, we are condemned to live only for a few decades, and that is too slow a time to scale and see evolution go on. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, we
right.
don't
so,
that many you, that long.
We don't
yeah, like if you can't see evolution, why make monumental claims saying, oh, Josh, this turned into this when you can't even test it?
Josh, who
we
built
can test it?
Who built the Great Wall? Or what built the Great Wall of China?
What do you mean, what built the Great Wall of China?
What built the Great Wall of China?
Citizens over time in China.
How do you know that?
I mean, because you see it. It's right there.
You didn't see it get built. You see that it's there.
Yeah, you see that it's there. Yes, I understand that.
Okay, well, we can see life here on Earth. So, what proof do you have that people from China built the Great Wall of China? Because if
You see
can't,
the
if
Great Wall of China.
time and watch the whole process happen, then XYZ, right? So, why do you think that Chinese people built the Great Wall of China?
Well, wait, hold on. I love your claim. I love your claim. I use it as well when I prove my existence of God. But again, it doesn't match up with macroevolution. It doesn't.
Yes,
You
it absolutely. So
no, it doesn't, because you cannot observe bacteria evolving into different species. You're just sitting here saying, oh yeah, because we're species, yep, we evolved from bacteria. No, that's not how that works. That's just not how
okay.
that works. That's blind faith.
I think you
You
have
can't
several misunderstandings about the things you're talking about.
observe the Great Wall of China being built. So, with that in mind, tell me why you think the Chinese built it.
Well, I can't tell you why the Chinese built it, but I can know that it's there.
I asked why you think they built it.
I don't know. I guess it's a wall of defense, I'm assuming.
Fine, but why you think they're the one that built it?
Why do I think that they're the ones that built it?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's obviously in China, so I'm assuming they built it for defense purposes and all that good stuff. I have no idea why they actually built it.
Why this is the second time. I'm not asking your opinion on what you th or I'm not asking you what you think their reason for building it is. I'm asking why it is that you're confident to claim that the Chinese built it. Not why they built it, that they built it.
Because it's there. The Great Wall
And
is there.
and
What do you mean, and?
that's the only okay, so I say aliens built it. Which idea is better?
I mean, obviously, my claim, because we haven't discovered aliens yet, but okay.
Yeah, but you weren't there when it was built, right? So you don't know that it wasn't. Or how about this? It was a miracle.
Okay, so you were there. Okay.
I went, no, I wasn't there. But see, all I'm doing is talking about how you demanding that we go backwards in time and watch the entire history of things unfold right before our eyes isn't a good. First of all, it's a cheap way to try to win the argument. Second of all, it's clearly not the only way in which we can come to understand how something happens, obviously. We still, if we want to be completely honest, we don't know with absolute certainty that aliens didn't build the Great Pyramid, but that hypothesis isn't supported by any evidence. And even if we didn't really have any evidence of humans building it still would be bad because we don't have evidence of aliens in the first place, like you said. So, do you want to talk about micro and macroevolution now?
Well, so basically, that last part of what you said, since we can't go back, it's a kind of a cheap way to win the argument. No, it's actually not a kind of cheap way. It's just basically trying to confirm this scientific claim with the scientific method. Based on a collection of data through observation and experimentation. So you weren't there, you can't observe it nor experiment on it, but you make the claim.
That's not the only
We
way
can
to do science.
experiment with evolution. We do.
Yeah,
You
we
just stated that we can't go back to confirm that bacteria evolved into philosophers or fish or anything like that. You can't confirm it, so how
no,
can
but
you
I can
observe
show
something you
you
can't confirm?
evolution.
But
We can experiment with evolution.
if that did happen, there would be evidence, and that evidence has been found. So we can talk.
And what is that evidence?
Well, I told you about how the mitochondria and chloroplasts in eukaryotes very closely resembles that of certain prokaryotes. We can get into that in a little bit here, but you brought up the micro and macroevolution thing several times. I just want to illustrate this. Do you know what language this is?
No, I do not. What language is that?
Take a wild.
Wild guess, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm being honest with you.
It's English.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay. So when you say micro and macro evolution, what do you mean? So these were, this is the Lord's Prayer, by the way. So how did these words become the Lord's Prayer? Well, when people say macro evolution, what they're imagining is, oh, so you're telling me this is English? Yeah, right. You're telling me one day all of these words just changed into modern English? No, that's clearly not how it happens. What happens instead is small changes happen. Micro evolution happens. Tiny changes. Over time, just one letter of one word or one part of one word changes each generation. It changes fractions of a percent. But guess what? After 600 years, every these words is now different, but it's still, right? So macro evolution is just like a consequence of micro evolution happening over very, very long periods of time. Like a wolf is never going to give birth to a Great Dane, but we bred dogs from wolves. They macro changed. They macro over a very long period of time, but each step in the process is a micro change, is a micro evolution.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So the point about like, show me when a frog turns into a human or whatever. No evolutionary biologist ever would say that that's even remotely close to how evolution happens. So anyways.
Okay. So, okay. Okay. We can agree to disagree, but I appreciate the conversation. What? Thank you.
You disagree about.
Well, I mean, you don't have, you still don't have the evidence to conclude that the process actually took forth. You're just jumping. You're just jumping blind claims, but it's going to be circular.
I can show you examples of the definition you just gave of evolution: the genetic composition of a population changing over successive generations. We have demonstrated that in nature, in labs, we use that to feed ourselves. Like, I can show you the biological definition of evolution that you just gave all around the world. And what would happen if we look back into the past when we still had records of what crops look like, what animals look like? I can show you even more evidence that the biological genetic composition of a population has changed over successive generations.
He rage quitted.